one and true diploma. Well, that was very good and touching. But he's sharing his experience and all this stuff. And he wants to speak to us. My brother is called Pastor Heshimo.
There you go.
Heshimo. And he's my friend on Facebook. We will launch after the service. We want to include him as your friend on Facebook. That would be welcome. Then so that he can pray for me and also see his work. I have been following him in Kenya, where he preached in Kenya, and then Ghana, and then Nigeria, in Lagos for many, many months. He has spent 1 year, 6 months, 18 months in Lagos. He has come, this is the third time or so, he has come to the South. The first time he came, he wanted to meet me, it was not possible because he was going to a private. I have to direct him to meet my younger brother who took care of him and house and helped him. Then he went over to Hake because he has a point to stay there with him. The second time he was coming was about Sabbath. He said he would be passing to Stockholm. I was in England, so he's sorry I did not meet him. Then this time told me that this time I will be coming to Stockholm today. So yesterday he came, he arrived, and he was ready. He's here. Tomorrow he'll be going home to heaven. So the children will come to school, the student will learn the seminary, and the church will be coming here and come to stay here a longer time. You might not know? Yes, I think before you hear it, it's very good. So our brother is very happy to be with us here. For God's name, we pray to be with us here. This is one of the books.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. If you please open to the book of Colossians 1. Same place as we had our scripture reading. I hope my English is clearer. And I want to thank this church, small church, that is doing a lot of work. The brother and I have been talking about Chapel Library in the U.S. out of Florida, a small church. I pastored a small church, so I know some of the trials and the struggles. But if you all get to work and you look at the Lord and God, it's your side of the heaven. I want to thank you, Pastor Holly, for opening up your house, your home, your heart, and your ministry, and for being my brother, acting like a brother, and I want to be your brother all the way to the end. So, I look forward to working with you and your congregation in this ministry of the gospel. In Nigeria, and many other most parts of the world, particularly as my ministry, as my mission, I believe that the Lord has laid on my own heart. It's the missionary organization I'm overseeing is over in Sub-Saharan Africa. Now, I wanted to come to Nigeria first because Nigeria is the cultural head of Africa. The strongest nation in your population, your culture. The hardest nation possibly to penetrate with the gospel, and the most corrupt nation in the world. I want to come here first and to be in hell because my heart was perfect. But In Colossians 1, I have 3 points. Verse number 1 through 8 talks about the spirit of the love of the saints over each other by the spirit. But verse number 9 through 14 talks about the Father and how He delivered us by His sovereign grace and mercy. And then verse number 15 through 18, it talks about the preeminence of the Lord Jesus Christ and how He has first place. Let's begin our reading in Colossians 1, 1 down to verse 8. And I want to ask the Lord's blessing on our time today, if you pray with us. Our Father, as we pray unto you, we do come boldly through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is something that is so shocking unto us, but it is a reality because it is written. That we heard about the Muslims who have no assurance, have no faith in Christ. We do, by the power of your Holy Spirit, become bold in our Jesus. We ask you to clear away the guilt and the sin and the helplessness of our lives, that you would cast us entirely upon our Lord Jesus Christ and upon your Spirit, that we believe that the gospel is being preached, that we can see things, Father, that you alone can show us. And we see your glory. Show us the power of the Spirit, our sound doctrine, that's the basis of our love, our brotherhood. And show us, Father, your hand to deliver us in the power of life and goodness. And show us the preeminence and glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Make us leave here each teaching moment, each basking in His glory. And may His glory and His gospel triumph and rule His place and the utmost part of the material unto the glory of God. Our Father, help us for Christ. In Colossians 1, he says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God. It's not by our will that we make anything in the ministry. It's by the will of God entirely and alone. And he's writing with Timothy, our brother, or that brother he held so special. He's writing to the saints in Christ at Colossae, this particular group of people who are faithful brothers. And he's saying to all the saints in all churches, grace to you and peace from God and God. You've been reconciled back to God by the putting away of your sin. He has blessed you to be the inheritor of eternal life, and He with you. There's nothing more encouraging than I say that He, God, is with you. And Paul said that we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank Him because He saved you. When we pray for you, for we have heard of your faith. We hadn't even met in church yet, but the people we had known, some of the brothers had come.
He has a pastor that he's working with that went to Master Seminary. preach at one of the outdoor events that Kanye's hosting, and it was gospel life. It was a gospel that you can take no matter where you live. Now, if you come to our preaching life, but I want to love all souls. That's the reason I came here. It's because I love people who preach and believe the gospel. And I look for you everywhere I go to talk about Christ. And where it is, I'm still here. We're close to family. We're brethren. Respect. We're of the same spirit. We're of God. And we got a commission to preach, profess, and defend this Christ.
And that's what Paul said. If you pick it up in verse number 5, with your love for all saints, because of the hope reserved for you in heaven, you got for sure. There's only one God, the God. That term, the, says that this is it. That there is no other. There is no compromise. There is no believing something else and being a Christian. You and I have to believe it as is. And then he finds it. This gospel you did not make it of yourself, it has come to you, it is also bearing fruit and growing all over the world, just as it has among you since the day you heard it. Is this the truth? What they tell me, they're not saying no kind of love and happy and for our Lord Jesus Christ. But what
the mission
That sounds like God doesn't exist. Sounds like God sitting on the throne.
Verse number 12, oh, that he had already put up holy Christ. Verse number 13.
When you heard these messages of truth, the gospel, as a word, of your salvation, and when you believe in him, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of Christ. And the question, what gospel are you talking about? This is very thing wrong to get away. Predestination, and our salvation is all of God. For me, I'm going to tell you a story. I was a false prophet, but I did not know it. I was very sincere. I was very zealous. I was a saint in private, and I was a public. But I did not know the gospel of the grace of God. And you know what happened after what I learned the gospel? I left my old house behind, and I ran, and I took over Christ, and I repented of my sins of preaching a false gospel. Ask another question. Could that false gospel save you? Sharp. This is sharp. It's shaking your head like, nuh-uh. That's the truth. Nuh-uh. Nuh-uh. Any gospel that you have to believe for is a better gospel, the true gospel, the gospel, is a false gospel that cannot save you. And all that God says, when he saves somebody, he teaches you. And you know the grace of God is true. You know it's all of God. And you might not have heard every term, but when the gospel comes to you, that's not the little difference to you. I knew it was all of God. I knew it wasn't a deal. And that word of the Holy Spirit is power inside of us.
The scripture says in Isaiah and in John 6, and they shall all be taught of God. Every morning.
And that's why I have to go to that house. Did you know what happened in that house? Now I'm the truth. I got to get that water under God. How about you, man?
Have you been baptized into her? The truth, the gospel, the message this man preaches.
Have you confessed?
And the fruit of that gospel, if you go back to Colossians 1, verse number 7, you learn this from the pastor. So God said somebody to you, our dearly loved fellow slave,
because somebody has to give the gospel to somebody else so that they can know it. And somebody has to know it in order to share it. So what are
these children that you support in this school are more blessed than the children of Queen of England.
Is any old man in catechism, is there
Pastor, that's amazing. I go many places and can't find it. Is that brother in a stop? I can't find anybody. We got the gospel. We got people who share it. Be blessed. Be encouraged. Be zealous. You're on top, not the bottom. You got to find Jesus. And then here's the thing it produces. Verse number 8. And he has told us about your love. That's what me and the pastor have been trying to share and melt each other. Love. Even though we don't know each other well, but we know each other in Christ. I came here last night. I was late on the track. I got another round that I made. You know the first thing I saw? I don't remember who it was, but it was a brother in the corner. I was praying in Christ, preaching Christ, and my heart went like this. I said, is that any more things? I said, and then you called me over. And you weren't rude and astute. Like I have to come bow up before the king. You came out and you greeted me, you welcomed me, you loved me. And I sat in on a seminary class. Each and every sermon, I want to hear Christ. I said, I'm home. And I listened. He instructed our sisters that were in the class, even though you can't be pastor, you can go preach to the women, children, and evangelize. I said, yes, the order and the house of God. I'm happy. He's been slandered, I've been slandered, I've heard every wicked thing about this place, but I had to come see for myself. It's not true. I love it. You don't understand the burden unless you understand the burden of being in the ministry and not being able to find somebody else to help and work with you. We need brotherly need, and we love each other because of this gospel. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's wonderful. Wonderful. I don't want to say too many hallelujahs, but that's it. My brothers in Africa preaching Christ. Verse number 9 through verse number 14 is talking about the Father. He delivers. And the will of God. Verse number 9 says this: for this reason also, since the day we heard this, since that day, we haven't stopped praying for you. It's the work of God. You, God, you keep it going. We have loved you through prayer, even though we haven't met you. We are asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will. What's His will? Preach Christ and live unto the glory of God until you die. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding, or spiritual wisdom and understanding, either way, so that you may walk worthy of the Lord, meaning you want to honor the gospel until we die. And part of honoring the gospel, we're going to read, it is joy and trials. It's not that you don't have any trials. It isn't that you pretend it's not heard. I hear in Nigeria, as you know, because of the charismatic movement, people have sick and dying day and night. And the world goes to God. I'm a little child, and there's an old woman, and a charismatic preacher took me to her house, and this preacher came to prison.
they're slamming the door.
What are they doing? Oh my God,
open the door.
He said, I'll open the door to no man.
I learned from the brethren before I came, and I say this with humility, I don't have to complain. I was reading the old missionary biographies. I read about Brother James in this. Things were so bad that the rats were actually running over his face as he was trying to sleep, and the dogs from hunger had eaten his shoes, and he had to go into the hot hut in order to sleep. No complaint. Not a word. I never saw Paul complain, or Peter, or any of them after Pentecost.
Yes, pre-Pentecost, pre-Holy Spirit coming to power, there's all kinds of fussing. But after Pentecost, they were strong, they could stand through anything, and rejoice when their backs were beaten. I'm worthy of this for Christ?
Brother Lipton said that he had to go 3 days without water. The children were all dead. Wife did not hear a word. Didn't reproach him one time. She knew he was doing all the good and he was helping. She put her confidence in God. We die, we die. That's spiritual understanding. That's a bold prayer. That's an example.
And we can be that if we would be. Because God didn't just die for him, he died for us too. We got a reason to sing his praises and sing his worthy. We got the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't have to complain. And when I saw Paul not complaining in 2 Corinthians 12, the first time I tried to come to Liberia, I was blocked and I cried. Because I thought, this is what I've been praying for. I'm so sure I'm supposed to be here.
I went back and bowed my knees unto God.
Whatever you want, whatever you do, I'm going to praise you and worship you and love you.
Just hear your strength.
And he did.
And without the strength of love and increase
with God,
he made me stronger so I come, not. We can do it through the power of the Spirit.
As we understand who God is, we understand the calling in our life. I'm called.
Let's just read the text.
Verse 11, may you be strengthened with all power. That's what it takes. According to his glorious might, that's the power that we have. For all endurance and patience, look what he says, with joy. Not complaining, not bitter, not angry, not upset at God like I used to be when I wasn't looking at him. I'm thinking things ain't working out how I want them. Who does his kingdom, his world? What does he want?
But you can only get like that when you see the Son and you see his great grace for you. And he picks you up. The very God. He brought us from the cross of God. And sister, you'd be in hell circle.
It wasn't you yourself. It wasn't your free will. It wasn't your ingenuity. It wasn't your mind. It wasn't your power. It wasn't you at all. It was God. And he could have did it to somebody else and passed you by. Giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you, my translation says, to share in the inheritance of the saints of light, He has rescued us from the power and the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His dear Son. He enables us.
He made us able to see Christ by our spiritual life.
If Christ died for me and for you, whatever He does is all right. Because the same love that sent His Son to the cross, the same love that had Him bearing the wrath of God for many, is the same love that sent Him out every cross. Whatever He does is because He loves me and you who are in Christ. Even the very poverty in Nigeria is for your sake. Even all the pain of this life is coming up. We'll bring you to heaven soon, and you'll end all that. But right now, you've got to do a little bit before you speak. You've got to live ourselves under the mark of His grace, the gospel of God, and be saved. Trials make us better. These trials make us able to preach the gospel. This poverty makes God able to save somebody else, other people who are tired and sick, tired of the promises at the beginning of the false prophet. You are here for that reason to help somebody else out of it and in need, because they are burdened and bound down. We have redemption, the forgiveness of sins in Him, all because of God and Jesus Christ. And that's His last portion, is about Christ. He talked about the Spirit. He puts in us love. He teaches us the truth. He teaches us. We talked about the Father. It's His will is over everything, and He rescued us. He did it. And now let's talk about the preeminence of Christ. We have redemption and forgiveness of sins in Him. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn, the highest ranking. What the Mormons say is that He's a firstborn little God. That's not what it means. He's the firstborn. He's the highest ranking, like the firstborn son in the Old Testament would get the inheritance. Christ is the firstborn among many brothers. And He's the firstborn over all creation, the highest ranking, for everything was created by Him. Jesus Christ, in His pre-eternal existence, before He was God in flesh, He was God on the throne, creating everything at the word of God. God said, let there be light, and Jesus made light. Before He was Jesus, and He was just the eternal Son of God, and He became a man one day, inhabiting human flesh. He's the creator of everything in heaven, earth, things visible, things invisible, things can't be seen, whether they be thrones or dominions or demons or rulers or authorities. And do you know, brothers, that the demons don't have this privilege of God's grace? He passed it
passed by all of the angels and he gave them no offer of mercy. Me and you preach the gospel and say, whosoever will let him come, and he is the propitiation for the whole world. He needs everybody to come to him. He's called, come to him. Don't doubt that your salvation will be real when you come to Jesus Christ. He'll take you. He preaches to all that come unto him, but not the demons. And it's us who made God. Everything was created through him and for him. It's all for his glory and his work. What's really going on, he's going on. He is before all things, pre-eternal, pre-existed, and by him all things are held together. If he stopped breathing the breath of life in this world, it would crumble up and die. He's also the head of the body, not man, not woman, not pastors. And that's where we get into trouble, and that's why men who preach truth hate each other. They want to be the head. They want to be somebody. And they want preeminence. But preeminence is those of Christ, not God. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to pass. Preeminence or first place in heaven. This is my last point on how to form the truth. But preeminence means that Christ is the head of every sermon. Christ is the subject of every message. If we go with the law and we preach Christ, we are now preaching God. It is no longer wrong. It is no longer wrong for us as soon as you bring your Christ. And if you leave out Christ, all you have to do is bring him in. Any servant that does not have Christ will not have the power of the Holy Spirit. He only works through Christ. His function is to show us Christ. Am I being written? Christ is everything. That's the very crux of Christianity. That's the heart of it. As the gospel is exalted, that's when God works. As Christ is seen, that's when salvation is blessed. Are you young ones? I see you there listening. That's why he says, look unto me. And be saved. Don't look at yourself. Don't look at your works. Don't look at your filthy efforts. Don't look at your promises of being a better person. Look to him, dying at the same sinner and sitting on the throne to show us mercy. Look to God, raising him from the dead, and know that he is on mercy for every person who comes to him. Because his work was accepted and he satisfied God. Look to him. Not to me or any pastor. Not to you. That's not only very important and difficult and distressing. Don't even look at the situation. Look at admit the situation, confess the situation, but look at Christ. That four levels that if you will, you can make it. He was full of levels. There was nothing he could do. But in the law, it said, if the leper was full of leprosy from head to toe, he'd be pronounced clean. And if you're a filthy sinner of the highest magnitude, he will say, he's got the preeminence. And so in conclusion,
and I don't really always
use food like this. What do you and I think about Sunday lesson is not important? But what is important is what we think about the gospel of Jesus Christ. We gotta make sure that the only salvation that we accept is the grace of God in the truth that brings forth good works of love. That's it.
Amen.
Do you have a hymn, brother?
Me.
It's a hymn, if you don't mind, is When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.
Praise God.